Welcome to another episode of the Alter Your Health podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. If this is your first time listening, hello and welcome. We value your time and energy and hope you receive a lot from tuning in. As a listener-supported show, we rely on you to help us grow. We'd be so grateful if you share the show or a favorite episode with a friend or fellow health seeker. Living a healthy and nourishing life doesn't always come easily, especially in today's crazy world. But that's why we're here, doing what we love, hopefully helping you along with information and inspiration that fuels your health pursuits. If you're looking for more support, consider subscribing to the monthly meal guide membership. Just $11 per month gets you access to a weekly meal guide filled with healing and delicious whole food plant-based recipes, along with invitations to our regularly scheduled support calls where we can connect, answer questions, and keep the good vibes flowing in our healthy lives. You can learn more at www.alter.health/meal-guides. And if you're looking for more in-depth support, check out our other services. We offer both one-on-one consulting as well as educational programs. All of our current offerings are listed at www.alter.health. Our ultimate goal is to empower you to heal yourself. Keeping with that theme, let's dive into today's show.
Habits are healthy. Like, our brain is supposed to be doing this stuff. As long as we're thinking, how do I stop my mind from doing this? We're not going to see it. We're going to be in the wrong direction because, again, now we're going to be back and trying to manage our experience. And if I'm thinking, how do I stop my mind from doing it? And then my mind does it. Well, then I failed. And then I think, how do I stop my mind from doing it? And then I can't stop my mind from doing it. Well, then I failed again. You know, it's a mess. So it's not that we stop our mind from doing anything in any type of habit. It's that we see, oh, that's what my mind is doing. So, like, minds do these big swings. They get caught up in habits. But as soon as people really, in some way, again, this looks different for everyone, but there's a sense that you can feel it when they can see, oh, that's just what my mind's doing. Oh, that's just how I felt. And there's a I in there that means something to them, that isn't their thoughts, it isn't their habit or their behaviors. It's like, oh, I'm okay. I'm the okayness. And my mind's just caught up in this habit.
That was Dr. Amy Johnson, and she is this week's guest on the Alter Your Health podcast. This is your source of information and inspiration to promote the holistic transformation of your health and the health of our planet. And I'm your host. I am Dr. Benjamin Alter. I'm a licensed naturopathic physician, and I practice holistic lifestyle medicine all over the world, all online. You can find out more at www.alter.health. And we are, me and Dr. Susanna Alter, my wife, the co-host of this podcast and partner at Alter Health, we are taking new patients, new clients in our one-on-one private practice. And you can find out more and schedule a complimentary 15-minute exploratory call at www.alter.health. And the other exciting piece of news, just for a brief moment before we dive into this week's episode, is the upcoming Whole Food Plant-Based Challenge, which, I guess if you're listening to this, it has already begun in the plant-based and stress-free Facebook group. That is the Facebook group associated with Alter Health. And if you want to join in and catch the remaining bits of this Whole Food Plant-Based Challenge, you are more than welcome to find us at facebook.com/groups/alterhealth. Come on in. And if you miss this one, you better be prepared to join the next one, because there is probably another one around the corner. It's all about equipping you with the information and the inspiration to get you on your healthiest path, to achieve your health goals, to achieve your wellness goals, to promote longevity, understanding the power of whole food plant-based nutrition, excuse me, and also mind-body medicine like we practice at Alter Health. Anyways, now into the episode with Dr. Amy Johnson, who is a PhD clinical psychologist. She's a coach, she's an author and a speaker, and she shares groundbreaking new approach that helps people find true lasting freedom from unwanted habits via insight rather than willpower. That sounds like a good approach to me. And that is, by the way, the approach that we take at Alter Health as well. Dr. Amy Johnson is a student practitioner of the Three Principles Understanding of Psychology, and she has written a couple books based on this understanding. The first one was in 2013, that was called Being Human, and then The Little Book of Big Change, The No Willpower Approach to Breaking Any Habit. That was published in 2016, and I read that book and I thought it was wonderful. It was refreshing. This conversation is refreshing, and Dr. Amy Johnson's approach is refreshing to creating habits, to changing habits, to letting go of habits. It is a groundbreaking approach that is just the graceful path, if you ask me. And in 2017, after she published her book, The Little Book of Big Change, she created The Little School of Big Change, which is an online school that has helped hundreds of people find freedom from anxiety and habits and live a more peaceful life. So you can find out all sorts of good stuff about Dr. Amy Johnson at dramyjohnson.com, dramyjohnson.com. And you can also check out her school, which we talk about a bit in this conversation today. Other topics that we cover in this conversation are, you know, just the fact that there's nothing wrong, there's nothing broken, and that there are no problems to fix, which once again is kind of a revolutionary way of looking at things, especially when we are living a life and we feel like we've got a problem, whether it's eating or drinking or smoking or any other quote unquote bad habit that we want to fix. Seeing it as a problem is maybe one thing that where we can kind of tend to get hung up on. So anyways, great wisdom, great information shared by Dr. Amy Johnson in this conversation. And like I said, this approach, this way of living and being in the world, this understanding of the three principles of mind, consciousness, and thought are very much infused into everything that we do at Alter Health as well. So without further ado, why don't we all get present, be here now, put your feet on the ground, take a breath, and let it go, and enjoy this wonderful conversation with our guest, Dr. Amy Johnson. Okay, welcome to the Alter Your Health podcast, Dr. Amy Johnson. So happy to have you on the show here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
For sure. Well, I'm excited to, you know, get a little insight myself and share insights, hopefully, with the audience today on the topic of change and habits and growth and healing. And I'd like to maybe just start, you know, kind of going back in your personal story. How did you come into this field, into where you are today, supporting people in changing sustainably in their lives?
Yeah, I really came into it because I couldn't find what I was looking for personally and professionally. So personally, I struggled with anxiety for a long time. I struggled with habits, especially a binge eating bulimia habit for several years. And professionally, I was trained as a psychologist. I was working with people all the while. And so both for myself and for the people I worked with, the things I found to kind of help myself and other people change just weren't really cutting it. Like, you know, I always had this sense that there was deeper to go. There was more to see, that there's no way, what we're supposed to be doing here is, you know, changing our thoughts consciously and purposely and spending lots of time and energy in our lives manipulating our experience. because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at a kid and see, wow, they seem pretty free and they're not doing all that work. it just never made sense to me that, wow, we have to really go through all this in order to just feel like ourselves again. It doesn't make sense. And so I knew there was something that was easier and deeper and to the point, but I had no clue what it was and I couldn't find it for myself or my clients. But I wasn't going to quit looking. And so I kept looking and I did come across a bigger understanding that, changed myself first, changed my habits fell away. My anxiety fell away. My fear of those things coming back fell away. And then I got to start sharing it.
Awesome. So I'm curious what you're really referring to in terms of those things that didn't work, like the stuff that didn't work. What are you talking about?
Yeah. So mostly what I was doing at the time when I was trying to help myself and when I first started working with other people, a lot of thought work kind of stuff. So let's look at what's the thought that's creating that suffering for you, and really looking at it and taking it to task, writing it down and inquiring into it and questioning it, which I think has a lot of value at times, but it's also a lot of work. So nothing I say here, I'm not at all saying that these things aren't helpful strategies and tools at times. It just always felt to me like it just can't be this hard. So that whole class of things was a big one, where just really, that's even kind of like cognitive behavioral stuff where you're really looking at the content of your thinking and analyzing it and questioning it in a sense. Stuff around, feelings, because again, as a person that was struggling with anxiety and bulimia, there was so much about just not feeling at home in my body and my experience in life and feeling like I needed to escape that as is very common. And the best that I ever heard or learned around that is like, well, it won't hurt you. Why don't you surf that urge, surf that feeling like a wave? And again, there's so much value in that to some degree, but it fell short for me all the time. That's all I can say is for me and for a lot of my clients, it just fell short. And it felt like, really? I'm like, this is the thing in the world that I'm most running from and I need to sit still and feel it. And, so that class of stuff, I don't know if that helps at all, but really kind of digging into the content of our psychology in a sense.
For sure. I mean, I think we all to some degree have some experience of being told to go and look at our past and figure out why that past emotional baggage or whatever we were told to call it is influencing our present behavior and thinking. So share with me, the kind of alternative way of looking at your life, looking at your feelings, looking at your thoughts now that you hold and that you share with your clients.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the biggest shifts was when I was busy doing stuff in order to try to feel okay, it was all based on this premise that maybe was implicit, maybe I made it up, but I think my own therapist and people held it as well, that I'm not quite okay. And again, maybe they wouldn't have said that in a big fundamental way, but it was like, oh yeah, this is a problem. This behavior is a problem. This experience is a problem. That feeling is a problem. That thought that you believe is a problem. So we need to do something with this problem for you to feel a little bit better. And now what it's sort of more based on is there are no problems. Our experience is never a problem in and of itself. Our behaviors and thoughts and feelings are safe. And in and of themselves, they are not problems, but we misunderstand them. We all do. The world misunderstands our experience. And so when we feel something or think something and we think it's ours and it means something and I have to act on this or we fear it and all of that, now I would call that this just a very simple misunderstanding. But when we're in that, of course, we're going to turn to habits and substances and all kinds of things to try to not feel that. So it's more about seeing like we're perfectly well. Nothing that's coming our way you know, like internally, psychologically, is a problem in and of itself at all when we see that it's not a problem. But when we think it's a problem and we're so used to being pointed on how to change it and fix it quickly, of course we experience it that way.
Yeah, well, I'd like to maybe dig in a little bit and poke and prod into this thing that you said, which is there are no problems. And I think for a lot of people listening out there, they're like, what the heck are you talking about? Like, yeah. I can name 12 right off the bat here. Yeah. So like, what about, you know, in your story, in your past with the binge eating or bulimia, was that not a problem? And how did you start to look at that in a way that freed you from seeing it as a problem? Because I think that, you know, if you were to present yourself and if other people were to see that, they'd say, oh, you know, Amy, you've got a problem.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, it, you know, it's kind of looking in a different place. So for sure, these things, any habit, any addiction, that it creates problems in our, what we could call problems in our lives, right? But rather than staring right there, so that's kind of like the part we see and feel, rather than staring at this thing and saying, wow, you ate that, you're doing this to your body, you're feeling this, that's a problem. Hmm. We're looking a little bit before that. So we're looking at what, I don't even want to say what led to that, but like what's going on beneath the surface, beneath that. So how that looks, how I might kind of nutshell that now is I felt some discomfort and I didn't want to feel it. I thought it was mine. I thought it was about me. My mind said, right, ooh, this is not okay. This is about you. You're lacking. You have a problem. Like my mind was constantly narrating that. So from that but really all that was is just feeling. It's discomfort. It's energy. Like there's nothing problematic about anything we feel in and of itself. So we can feel stuff. All humans do. That's what we're designed for, right? Not a problem at all there. But when I thought it was a problem, when I said, nope, this is okay, but these feelings aren't okay. This means this, but this means that, you know, like then I started taking matters into my own hands as we do and like trying to control and manipulate and shape all of my experience. So I'd feel something or think something that didn't feel good. And then I'd have to run off and cope with that or, you know, like, or numb myself or distract myself from it. So for sure it creates problems, but the experience itself doesn't create the problems. The misunderstanding of the experience creates a problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know it's kind of big, like when you know, and it's so different because we're so used to looking at that end result and saying, oh yeah, gambling addiction, bulimia, depression, problems. But we're just looking a bit before that and saying, no, really, that's just feeling. That's just thought. It only becomes a problem when we misunderstand it.
Yeah. Well, I've heard other people say that, you know, the addiction, the behavior, the action is not the problem, but it's the answer to a problem. So, yeah. But what you're saying is that actually, like, there is no problem. It's just the you know, if what I hear you saying is the action or the behavior or the addiction or that tendency is just our expression based on our feelings.
Exactly. That it's the expression based on our understanding of what's happening in that moment. So, you know, if I take a drink of water, but someone says, hey, that was poison you just drank, I'm probably going to spit it out and go call 911. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate? No, it was water. But my understanding was that it was poison. So it's like, you know, yeah, it's like when we feel feeling, when we feel this energy move through us, when we think certain things and we're hanging on the content, we just act according to what our current level of understanding is. But that's what's so beautiful about kind of backing this up so much more and saying, wow, it's all okay. It's all not inherently problematic. I don't know what the opposite of that is. Inherently safe, inherently okay, right? There's no problem built into it.
So what, you know, you said that you used the term like, you know, people's issues or their tendencies are due to their misunderstanding. So what is the fundamental misunderstanding that you see most people have when it comes to these tendencies, these habits, these addictions, whatever it is?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's hard to pick one, and it's hard to kind of lump it together in a sense. But I mean, I think, and I might change my answer on another day, but I think what it ultimately comes down to is, you know, we fear our experience. So we fear our experience. We feel stuff, like say someone's feeling depressed. That's just a mood. It's just a mood, but they have all this thinking that says, but depression runs in my family, and but I have every reason to be happy, and but, you know, this is a mood that's lasted longer than I think a mood should last. And they have in their mind just takes it and runs with it. So now this energy moving through them, which wants to move. I mean, nothing is stagnant in us at all. Our experience is constantly in motion. It's constant. It's incredibly fluid. We can't hold on to a thought or feeling if we want to. We can't. It's not even possible. Yet when we think, oh, it's depression and this runs in my family, oh yeah, we're going to experience it as long-lasting depression. You know, we're still not holding on to it. Now, still what's happening in that case is feeling is fluctuating, and maybe it starts to lift, and then maybe our mind comes back in and says, oh no, that's right, I'm depressed. Not like in that explicit of a way, but you know what I mean? Like we feel and see and experience what we expect to feel, see, and experience. Mm-hmm. But I think that ultimate kind of misunderstanding is, again, I don't know the best way to say it, but something around like that, you know, this experience that moves through us, it's not us. It's not ours. And it's definitely nothing to fear. And yet me for sure, and everyone I've ever met, we think it's us. We think it's all, we call it ours, and we fear it, you know, even when we know better, we do. It's just kind of seems to be just kind of how we're designed. So I think that's really the crux of it.
Yeah. I've, you know, heard some teachers in the 3P community use the word innocence a lot, just because it is so such an innocent thing and for humans to kind of fall into. Yeah. And so innocent and normal. And then what I think what a lot of people end up doing is just the self-judgment, the self-criticism, which just layers on so much icky feeling that we act from. Yeah. So I'd like to, you know, maybe take the conversation in the direction of habits and change, because I know that's your big thing. That's what you support people with. So how does our feelings and our thinking and our state of mind really influence our habits and our ability to, you know, break habits and create new habits, and what are habits?
I mean, you know, I think psychologically we're very habitual, right? For good reason, we have to be. Like our brain, just the brain works in a very habitual way in order to keep us alive. So I think it's kind of easy to fall into habits, especially when, like, good and what we would call good and bad. But especially when, you know, when we don't see kind of what we've started pointing to in the beginning of this conversation, when we don't see that our experience is fluid, that it's always changing, and that it doesn't inherently mean anything about us. Like if you have a thought or a feeling or a craving, or, you know, whatever it might be, it doesn't, like, I think what our mind does is make everything about us. And so it will look at that experience and say, oh, I can't believe you did that, ate this, drank that, you know, like it. And before you know it, there's this concept, this like ball of belief that's like, oh, you have a problem, or this is wrong, or you're the kind of person who. And so I think at the root of habits, you know, is a brain that's just working perfectly, because the brain needs to be habitual. But again, coupled with our misunderstanding of our experience, we just get kind of wrapped up in where our mind is going, and we think it's personal, and then we're in trouble.
Mm. Yeah. So I think that, you know, the first thing that I heard is habits are like healthy. You know, we need to be creating habits in order to survive. It's part of being human as well. Yeah. And you know, like what about, like, I'm sure you've just got numerous stories and you know, witnessing all sorts of people breaking long standing, you know, quote unquote bad habits that they want to break in their life. And like, what, in your experience, what is really the crux where it's like, all right, I've got this habit and then I'm free from this habit? And how can we invite ourselves to take that leap into freedom?
Yeah, it's tough to put words around, but there's something I do. I've seen it thousands of times. There's a point that, and again, these are my words, just trying to kind of summarize and describe it. But there's a point where you see someone kind of be able to think and feel stuff without being so personally attached to it. And I think that's gigantic. I think that's it for many, many people. When I see that in someone I'm working with, I know they're on their way to freedom. And that doesn't mean that day, but I know that there's been enough of a shift where they can notice their mind. Like, let me give you an example. So yesterday I was talking with a woman in my school who used to have a really bad binge eating problem, like really bad, meaning like every day with very few breaks. And she's been looking in this direction with me and been, you know, free-ish of it. But it's still like, you know, every couple weeks she'll kind of get that old feeling and kind of fall back into it. So her length of freedom is much longer, but it's still a thing that's there. So she's like, you know, how my mind still goes to, you know, like hurry up and diet and get all this weight off. And then of course my mind swings to the opposite, like, oh no, need to eat a bunch of food. And then my mind goes to, I don't have any clothes and I hate myself and my body. And then my mind goes over here. So she's talking about these huge swings. And you know, a common question in that is like, well, how do I stop my mind from swinging? And the thing to see in that is you don't stop your mind from, like, your mind just runs on its own. That makes perfect sense in mind terms. If we were all little brains, like, it would make perfect sense to be doing what it's doing. Again, to that point you pointed out, habits are healthy. Like, our brain is supposed to be doing this stuff. So it's not about, and as long as we're, this part's important, like, as long as we're thinking, how do I stop my mind from doing this? We're not going to see it. We're going to be in the wrong direction, because again, now we're going to be back and trying to manage our experience. And if I'm thinking, how do I stop my mind from doing it? And then my mind does it. Well, then I failed. And then I think, how do I stop my mind from doing it? And then I can't stop my mind from doing it. Well, then I failed again. You know, it's a mess. So it's not that we stop our mind from doing anything in any type of habit. It's that we see, oh, that's what my mind is doing. I mean, that is such a simple little statement, but by the virtue of, like, we say that, everybody says that, no matter what they know or understand about life. People walk around and say, oh, I can't believe I thought that, you know, and like, well, that's interesting. Yet you call that thought yours and you think it's you and you think it's so meaningful. Yet there's another entity in there, some other consciousness, some other awareness that can see it. So like, minds do these big swings. They get caught up in habits. But as soon as people really, in some way, again, this looks different for everyone, but there's a sense that you can feel it when they can see, oh, that's just what my mind's doing. Oh, that's just how I felt. And there's a I in there that means something to them, that isn't their thoughts, that isn't their habit or their behaviors. It's like, oh, I'm okay. I'm the okayness. And my mind's just caught up in this habit.
Yeah, I love that. You know, the thing that is the term that's bubbling up for me is simply mindfulness. Like, would you agree that this is really like a flavor of mindfulness, or what's your relationship to that word, mindfulness?
I think this is a description of how life works, of like how our experience and our design works, and it's why mindfulness helps people. Right. I mean, for me, I just think of mindfulness more as a practice. So it's why mindfulness helps a lot of people. But I think this is, you know, this is what mindfulness is based upon. So why not go deeper and like, let's understand how we work, you know, and rather than kind of just stop at the practice. And I'm sure many people do, but yeah, does that make sense? So I think it's kind of it's the design that makes mindfulness work and be helpful.
Right. So when you're, you know, working with people in your school, which I want to talk about and learn about a little bit more about this school that you have. But like when you're working with people and they've, you know, the way I see it is there's a lot of ups and downs, it sounds like, in terms of breaking old habits, creating new habits. There's a lot of swinging. It's not just like cold turkey, so to speak, for most people most of the time, I imagine. So like what's the best advice or suggestions that you might have to someone who is right in the midst of that? All right, well, I'm letting go of this habit. I'm creating this new habit. I'm living into that. I'm mindful and present with that process, but I'm just all over the place in how I'm swinging back and forth. And I, you know, fell off the wagon and I binged on that bag of potato chips and like, what kind of just guidelines or guidance advice do you have to people to kind of feel stable in their journey?
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of the most important thing, because our psychology won't be stable, just like you said. Our thoughts will be all over the place. And when I say psychology, I just mean thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. I'm just kind of, I don't know, maybe that's just my definition, but it's just a shortcut, right? So our thoughts will be all over the place. Our feelings will be all over the place. Our behavior will likely be all over the place. But when we see that we aren't those things, and again, like, you have to hear this as not just a cliche. So when people explore this with me or with others who share this, like when we really explore this and there's a meaningful sense of who we are beyond our psychology, all those psychological swings don't impact you in the same way. It's like, you know, there's a common term that we, like when I train coaches and stuff, we talk about our grounding. How, and that's kind of what you're asking, right? Like how we can be stable in whatever's swirling around and happening around us. We're grounded in a bigger sense of who we really are. And it's not a thought or a feeling or potato chips. It's way bigger than that. So that's really what buffers people, is they, you know, when we're caught up in a habit, we're not grounded. Just by definition, we're in the experience. It's a little bit like being on a roller coaster and you're like, you know, you don't know how roller coasters work, and you're just hanging on for dear life and you're just being swung all over the place, versus riding a roller coaster that you've ridden 20 times and you know it's going to deliver you safely at the station in 2 minutes and you're kind of just kicking back. It's still a ride, but you know, it's a very different kind of ride. So that's what I think our grounding in, again, it's kind of a vague thing, but like, I mean, if you just hear it like this, but it's like, yeah, our grounding in sort of who we are, that there's something stable that is us beyond this experience helps enormously.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, one of my huge learnings through the principles is just the true fact that at the core of everything in the universe is divine energy, is kind of perfect, self-balancing, self-healing, self-regulating energy. And we all have that capacity in our minds and in our bodies, and it, like, just trusting that the pendulum is going to swing and life's going to happen, but there's this constant presence.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, people find this in whatever way they find it. Like, I find it by kind of sensing this, what I might call consciousness or awareness, that I feel like is really me beyond the moving experience. In yoga, there's a term for it called drishti, where when you're in a balancing pose, you focus on something that doesn't move. It grounds you. You're swaying in tree pose, but you're focused on something in the room that's not moving, and it kind of grounds you. You know, people who practice different religions, I think they just go to prayer. Like, it's, you know, so I think it's such a, we all do this naturally in the best way we see how. But it's cool to see like how commonplace it really kind of is.
Yeah, for sure. I'm curious. One question that I have often, speaking with different people in who've kind of experienced different relationships with addiction. I know, like Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, like there's this kind of belief and that it's like, you're always in recovery. You're like once an addict, always an addict kind of thing. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts and relationships about that? You know, for me, I feel like we have the freedom to be completely whole and healthy in any moment. And I personally don't know how supportive it is in identifying with an addiction for the rest of our lives. But what, like, I'm sure that there's a lot of people who have been in AA and are in recovery and kind of come into your life and your teaching and what you have to say. So what's your kind of, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah. I mean, I never want to take away from anyone what feels comforting and helpful to them. So I do think that that statement in particular, like that piece of AA, rubs a lot of people the wrong way, but they can also kind of come to appreciate often, oh, in a sense, that's like, it's like saying, I don't know, I think for some people in a sense, it's like a little bit of safety or a little bit of protection, which is maybe for them like a reminder. It doesn't mean it the way that we would hear those words, like you have to walk through every day of the rest of your life feeling like an addict if you haven't drank in 50 years, but it's a sense of like, oh, I'm always an addict is almost like a reminder for people. Oh yeah, I'm not going to go there. Oh yeah, there's something else. So even just something as simple as that, it sounds like, oh yeah, that doesn't feel good. But I think for some people it's helpful. So I think whatever helps someone is wonderful. And there are many people that I've worked with who were formerly in different 12-step programs and find this understanding. And for that, some of them stay involved in those programs and for different benefits for the community, for other things that they find valuable in them. Others, it just makes sense to kind of leave that behind and know that they aren't an addict. And they don't have to hold on to that. So I think for everyone, it's different.
I think that's a great answer. Thanks for, thanks for sharing that. Because, yeah, I always kind of like, I don't know how to talk to people who are so kind of identified with that part of themselves sometimes. Yeah. But I like what you said about it just being kind of a constant present reminder for them. And that does help. What about people who have been told like there's something wrong with their brain chemistry and like you're just wired this way and that means that you need this and that? What do you have to say about that kind of that theory of mental health or illness?
Yeah, I think it's very simple. It's similar, but maybe different from what we were talking about in terms of like when someone's in the throes of recovery where they're kind of all over the place, right? I mean, really if someone has some brain chemistry that is quote unquote abnormal, which just means it doesn't look like the average person's brain chemistry, they're going to be having some different experience. So somebody who's bipolar, for example, or ADHD or whatever, like maybe there's some brain chemistry stuff happening that for sure is going to give them different thoughts, different feelings, a different experience of that. But, and so again, for that particular person, do whatever is helpful for you. Get on medication, don't get on medication, try things, like do whatever helps you feel like yourself as much as possible. But what I think is bigger than all that, again, is seeing that we aren't our brain chemistry. Just like we aren't, wild moods and urges and cravings and all of that kind of stuff. Like we can come, when people really start to look toward this and see, oh, wow, that's just what my mind is doing. Or that's just what my feelings are doing. That's a psychology show happening over here. That's not me. Then it's like their brain chemistry is doing whatever it's doing, but it doesn't affect them in the same way. And again, that doesn't mean, don't try different things or try to change it or normalize it, whatever that means. But, it just means like, I don't know, they see it differently. They handle it differently. And I think they experience it differently.
Yeah. Yeah. I often wonder, you know, like which comes first, the feeling or the brain chemistry. And it's like, you know, are we creating brain chemistry with our thoughts, or is brain chemistry creating our thoughts? Or, and I think we know that, like, based on the three principles, that thoughts are just not created or destroyed. They're just flowing. Yeah. Right. So.
Yeah. And for sure, it's kind of a cycle in that, you know, mm-hmm. like you mentioned earlier, someone does something and then they beat themselves up for it, and it all looks personal, and the guilt and the shame. I mean, that's just going to bring it more full circle. So I think it's a similar thing. It's like, if we are afraid of our brain chemistry and we're really locked into it as if it's us, probably not going to be good news for brain chemistry. Like, it's just going to, we're going to for sure experience it more. And then, you know, it all kind of is a big cycle. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, you know, sorry, sometimes I feel like my questions are kind of just like bubbling up and bouncing all over the place, but hopefully it's cool. I think about different tendencies and ways that people approach change and approach habits and you know, or diets or whatever it is. And I think that there's either like an all or nothing approach that people subscribe to, or it's like, you know, the baby step. I'm just going to plan it out and I'm going to take the long scenic route. What do you think about kind of those two paths, and what do you think is kind of, I mean, I know that there's not a better path. It's kind of like what works, but in your experience, like what do you think works?
I think if you're deciding, this is a good answer that I'm about to give, but it's also kind of an annoying, maybe bad answer. So I think that if you're deciding, oh, I'm an all or nothing person, which is how I would have characterized myself years ago. Like, no, this is just how I am. I'm just going to do it, right? I'm not good with moderation. Or if you're deciding, okay, I'm a baby stepper, this is how I'm going to do it. And you're deciding that with your head, meaning you're looking back to, this is the kind of person I am, and this is what's worked for me before. And it's a very mental, strategic decision. Neither one is going to go well. Whatever it is that you think is going to go well for you is not likely to go well, because you're basically trying to decide how life is going to show up for you, or how you're going to play things sitting right here, right now, in a life and an experience that's constantly in flux and constantly in motion. So we can't decide, oh, I'm going to do it this way, or I'm going to do it that way, or we're just making that up. We're likely to be wrong. Like, I think what's better is letting it come from the inside out, in a sense, like meaning just like throwing all the rules aside and saying, I don't know. Like when I start people in my programs and stuff, we try to start with completely like nothing. And I say, you have to get really dumb, because the people I work with, like I'm sure the people you work with and many people, they've tried a million things. Nobody's coming to us for the first time, for the most part. So like, they've tried everything and they know everything and they're smart and they've Googled everything, and it all gets in the way, including all their memories and all their ideas of who they are and the kind of person they are and what works for them. So we clear the slate as much as possible and say, forget all that, be really dumb with me, and let's just walk through this and let life show us. Let life show you which approach is better for you in a given moment, and then throw it away, because the next moment's a new moment. And so it's almost more like we're discovering how it goes, and there really isn't a how it goes, because how it goes is kind of just a generalization anyway.
I just got the tingles of just the open freedom of showing up in each moment with that dumbness, with that kind of just total open-mindedness to, yeah, because you caught me because I am also like totally an all or nothing guy. And I always try to kind of urge people to just do it, just jump in, just come on in. But it's like, there's something so much better and feeling so that feels so much better than than doing that.
See, that's perfect for you because you know, like that's the thing about advice. Like people are out giving advice all the time on what's worked for them. So it'll be good advice for the people who are just like you. But then there are lots of people for whom that would be horrible. Like they just can't, you know, I'm the same way. Like, come on, just do something, you know? And they're like, no, that's not how I operate, or that's not how they're operating in that moment. So it's so much more personal and unique, and not even about a person, you know, but really down to like just in a moment, like responding to what's there. Yesterday, I was with my group and a woman had this huge insight she was sharing with us. And she was talking about how she really, really saw just how much her mind was always jumping ahead, talking about how things were going to go. And like, and I call it like the narrator, like we, like this little narrator voice in our head, you know, that's just talking about everything, but it's really irrelevant to what's actually unfolding in life. And she was saying like, she really saw, it was really moving to hear, because you could tell it was like really fresh for her, that this voice is always talking, but that beyond that, there's something that just is responsive to every single moment. That doesn't need a plan, you can't categorize it as this way or that way of acting or any of that garbage. It's so much deeper than that. And I think that's it. Like life is just living through us all the time. And we get so caught up in thinking about how life is living through us and believing the thinker rather than the life.
Yeah. I mean, totally. And I love how people can have their insights. Kind of, you know, it's like, sure, when you are teaching a course or leading a program or something, I'm sure that you really intentionally kind of are creating an environment that supports people in having those insights. They're popping up and light bulbs are shooting off. But it's like so amazing to trust and know that those insights can be in any moment outside of the seminar, you know, in the middle of the storm, wherever it might be. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of refreshing to know that. And I'm also personally kind of a person who tends to get impatient and tends to want the answer and the clarity exactly when I want it. And I don't want to just sit back and let it come to me. I want to find it. Yeah.
Well, that's just your mind that wants to find it.
Right.
It's not really you, but that's your mind saying, I can do this faster. I'll get us there. Making up what there is and what this is and all that. But, you know, that's just how mind talks.
Yeah. Thanks for the reminder. So you're, you've written how many books?
Well, I've written three. I only claim two of them. One of them was kind of a past life kind of book, not about past lives, but that I wrote kind of before I saw things more clearly. So, cool. A couple books, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that I've then just read one of them, The Little Book of Big Change. What's your other book?
It's called Being Human.
Being Human.
Yeah.
And which one was first?
Being Human was first. Wrote that when I was first coming across this bigger understanding. So it's short essays. It's a little more general, but it's just me kind of waking up to a lot of what we're talking about. And then awesome. The Little Book of Big Change, is more about applying this to habits.
And then you created The Little School of Big Change.
Yeah.
And when did that happen?
That opened in June of 2017, so almost 3 years ago.
Wow.
And so it was just, you know, people had read The Little Book of Big Change, and as it is in this understanding, like, or any understanding, I think, like, you hear things that resonate and that kind of pull you in, and you know there's something to it, but like you mentioned earlier, it doesn't all pop at once. And this especially, like, just any kind of deeper sort of exploration into big things like this, I think it's just it's a lifelong thing, but not in a full-time job kind of way, but just like, wow, what cooler stuff is there to explore than who we are and how we work, you know? So the more people stay in this and really immerse and look, the more they see. And so there was a big demand, for people to people wanting to, like, knowing there was something being pointed toward in that book that was helpful, but really wanting to kind of go deeper into it.
That's awesome. So what's the, I'm curious what kind of the structure is of the school, and like, is there class, is there lessons, is there homework? What could people expect while attending your school?
Yeah, it's a 6-week course. It starts off as a 6-week course. And so, there are 20 short lessons. There's a combination of a lot of things. There's short lessons of me kind of just walking people through this bigger understanding. There are animations, there's conversations with other professionals that work in this space. There is like poetry and quotes and all kinds of things. Like, it's a really cool, it's so fun to create. It's this really like curated experience that walks people through, again, from like, forget everything you've ever heard in your entire life. Like, let's just be really dumb and just step through this together, step by step. And what if this is true? And what if that is true? So each of the 6 weeks, people get about an hour of video content. And then I lead 2 calls each week, and they're 90 minutes each. So we have, you know, a few hours every single week of group calls. And those are awesome because people can come on, you know, I just do a bunch of coaching. We look at somebody has a blind spot, if they are trying to apply it to a specific habit, and we have lots of conversation that way. So that's kind of the main meat of it.
Cool. You know, one question that's coming up for me now is like, for people, I imagine that their habits and their addictions, or, you know, that kind of stuff can be really like kind of dark and deep and kind of in the shadows and not wanting something that they don't want to like get out too publicly in the open. But I imagine that it's probably pretty liberating to air it out and get more eyes on it. But do you have any students or participants who feel really resistant to kind of sharing in a group their issues or what they see their issues to be?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, there's always a subset, usually a somewhat small subset, but definitely some people for whom that's going on. And what I love so much though about it, this understanding, is like that really does start to dissipate really quickly, because it, again, like, remember what we first started talking about, like all of this stuff is normal. It's healthy. I mean, it sounds crazy, I know, but it's healthy. It's your brain working in the way that it was designed to work. And it's a very simple, innocent misunderstanding that literally every human on the face of the planet has to some degree, right? Like, we all just get caught up in our experience because it's in our heads and it looks like ours. So the more people see it from that angle, so for sure, people come in and they use fake names on our forum, they use an alias, or they won't turn their video on. And it's the coolest thing to see, because by week 2, 3, 4, videos are popping on. People have profile pictures on our forum. They're sharing, you know, and because it's just like they are seeing, oh, this habit, you know, first of all, it's not just me, because they're with, you know, a couple hundred other people that are habit too. But like, oh, this habit isn't personal. This isn't something I have to be ashamed of. It's something that it's just a simple misunderstanding. And now I'm seeing it more clearly. So I love that you asked that, because that is really one of the biggest pieces of this. And it's not just habits and addictions. I mean, it goes for all of our experience, anything we think and feel, our shortcomings, our strengths, all of that. Our mind just makes it all about us. But this is just life flowing through us. You know, it's so less personal than it appears. And I think that's super freeing.
Yeah. I'm glad that I asked that question too, because I love everything you just said about that. And just kind of, you know, I feel like one thing that I'm always intending to convey and share is just how normal all dimensions of the human experience are. And it is so interesting how we pick and choose what is normal for us when in fact it's all okay, it's all healthy, it's all fine. And then like the more we kind of hide it and label it and wrap it up and try to make it mean something, like the bigger it gets, there's, you know, those kind of stories about the fear and the shadow puppets being, you know, shadowed on the wall. So, and yeah. it's really not that bad. And once we kind of feel it and share it and kind of separate a little bit from it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so huge to see that we're all the same, really. Like, the content is different, but that's it. The process, what we experience, again, like, your stories are different than my stories, your fears are different than my fears in content. But the fact that you fear stuff and I fear stuff and my mind's always talking and your mind's always talking, and, you know, and that we feel uncomfortable and then we do things, whether it's eating or drinking or just grabbing your phone or working harder or whatever it is, like, we're constantly doing things to feel better. And that's not anything to be ashamed of, you know, it's just sometimes it goes off into a place where it creates problems in our lives. But if we can just see it at that normal human universal level, it's huge.
So in school, is there any homework? Is there any assignment?
There's no homework, but we really do. I mean, this isn't really homework, but I love this what if question, because again, it really speaks to how our mind works. So when I start suggesting to people or having them look for themselves and consider, like, hey, what if? I know you felt like you're broken for a really long time. I know you think that there are all these problems in your life and they're real, but what if it really works this way? You know, what if you're really okay? And what if all those thoughts and feelings are like shadows on the wall? And, you know, like, we really get them in that place of kind of that, wow, well, what would that mean? What if that's true? So that's our version of homework, probably. There's not too much beyond that, but no written assignments or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, just to stay in that mind of like feeling into, okay, you might not buy it yet, and don't take my word for it, but you explore it and see what you discover. I think it's huge because, of course, again, we're all smart, resourceful people. Like, our mind is going to argue with everything, and our mind can, and it can, because that's what it's good at. It will find evidence for whatever it believes. So I do a lot of stuff to kind of try to help people see that that's going to happen, but let's set that in the back, you know, in the background, and kind of look over here instead.
Cool. I just lost the thought. That tends to happen. Let's see if another one comes. I was curious about resources or books, like, outside of from yours, of course, that you have found helpful for you personally in supporting healthy change, and, you know, those that you recommend to the clients and students.
Yeah. I think there's so many good podcasts out there now, you know, especially kind of around these bigger topics, like three principles, understanding, non-dualism kind of stuff. I personally love Michael Singer. He wrote The Untethered Soul and The Surrender Experiment and all of it. He has a lot of videos and stuff. But the things that I think are the most helpful, again, aren't necessarily about habits or anxiety or any of these issues so much. But what they really are doing is helping us just not be afraid of what our mind puts out, not be afraid of our experience, because I think that's the key to all of it. So Michael Singer's books, anything in the three principles. And there's just so many great podcasts and videos nowadays.
Yeah, you've got one too, right?
Yes, my podcast is called Changeable.
Changeable, that's right. How often are you putting out episodes on that?
Every week. So we're at episode 83, I think. So it's been however long that's been, about a year and a half. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, haven't tuned into many, but And cool. So, and then where can people find out more about you, Amy, and your school? And I know I'm connected with you on Instagram, but are there other platforms that you share your message?
Yeah, mostly Instagram and Facebook. And then my website is just dramyjohnson.com. So that's probably the easiest place to find everything.
Cool. And people can find the school, the enrollment to the school on dramyjohnson.com.
Yep.
Cool. And finally, I'm just wondering if there are, you know, big, like some big misinterpretation, misunderstanding that you see in the world that you think you'd like to kind of just set straight. You'd like for people to just kind of see something in a new way. Like what would that ultimately be?
Oh my gosh, there are so many. There really are so many. I think we could write a book on this. There's so many. But I think sticking with our theme of change, it kills me when people think that change is hard. Now, again, for sure, we all have experienced change that feels hard. So I'm not saying that's abnormal in the least. I mean, we do. We experience change as hard very often. But change is always happening. Always. It is the nature of things. I mean, there's no way it's difficult. It is the nature of things. It's already always happening. So just to see that when we experience change as being difficult or hard or taking a ton of effort, or I don't know if I'm up for it, and it's all about us, and you know, we're in the middle of all that. Just see, we just have it kind of flipped. That's us in our heads thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going to change? What do I do? What should I see? What should I think? And it's going to be very hard that way. But if we can flip that around and see, okay, what if I get me and my ideas and my head out of the way? And I just see how life is constantly moving through me, even painful stuff, even cravings, urges, things, you know, inclinations to do things that are harmful, all of that. It is in motion. It's in flux by nature. So change is happening all the time. We just have to kind of see that and let it happen through us, and it gets much easier.
Oh boy. I love that. It like, yeah, once again, kind of like really brings life into me personally in this moment. Like I feel like, you know, just a connection with potential. And it's, you know, what I often think about is just getting out of the way. And not like forcing myself out of the way, not shoving myself out of the way, and not criticizing myself for like being in the way, but allowing myself to just take a seat and relax.
That's awesome.
Well, it was really wonderful to connect with you, Dr. Amy Johnson, and listeners out there, for sure, check out dramyjohnson.com. And what's your Instagram handle again? Is it?
It should be that.
Dr. Amy Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for connecting, and peace and love.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great talking with you.